You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, an official partner of the NFL. Happy Thursday to you. Today is Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. In just a few moments, I'll be joined by Kyle Krabs, host of the Locked On Dolphins podcast, for a discussion about this Week 2 AFC East Divisional Showdown between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. But first, I want to touch on a couple of newsy items that have come our way over the last couple of days. The Bills announced their Week 2 practice squad protected players. Those are as follows: center Devy Jordan, cornerback Dane Jackson, linebacker Andre Smith, and defensive tackle Justin Zimmer. If you recall, Justin Zimmer was elevated to the active roster for the Bills' Week 1 game against the Jets. He played 16 snaps and even had a tackle for loss. Another notable is linebacker Andre Smith. Given the injuries to the Bills' current linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds, Matt Milano, Delshon Phillips, and Tyrell Dotson, made sense for the Bills to protect Andre Smith, who is on their practice squad. Now, we do have an early look at the injury situation heading into this game after the Bills released their injury report on Wednesday for practice. Let's start with the good news. A full participant in practice was defensive tackle Vernon Butler. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He didn't play in Week 1, but it looks like he could be on track to give it a go in Week 2 and make his Buffalo Bills debut. Limited in practice was linebacker Tyrell Dotson with a neck injury. And then, of course, quarterback Jake Fromm, who is quarantining away from the football team. The did not practice list, this is where things get a bit concerning. Three linebackers: Tremaine Edmonds with a shoulder, linebacker Matt Milano with a hamstring, and linebacker Delshon Phillips with a quad. Sean McDermott, head coach of the Bills, has been non-committal about the status of any of these linebackers, called them day-to-day. Now, Tremaine Edmonds was seen doing some light side work in individual drills, so maybe there's a better chance for him than the other players, but not a very encouraging sign here that none of these guys were able to give it a full go on the Wednesday practice. Another notable is wide receiver John Brown. He did not practice with a foot injury. Now, it's interesting, if you listen to Stephon Diggs' press conference after practice, he acted like he had no idea that John Brown was even hurt. So that's something to monitor and see what the truth is with that foot injury. Perhaps it was just a veteran rest day, but Stephon Diggs didn't seem to be too concerned with it, and we'll obviously wait to see more information throughout the rest of the week. Looking forward to my conversation on the Friday podcast with Banged Up Bills, Dr. Kyle Trimble, to find out more about these Bills injuries. So make sure you don't miss that on Friday. One other note here is that according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, the Bills are one of a couple teams that have shown interest in cornerback Prince Amukamara. He's a free agent, spent some time with the Chicago Bears recently. He was a longtime player for the New York Giants. 31-year-old cornerback that I think would be a perfect addition to the Bills secondary, providing some depth behind Levi Wallace. He's a good fit in terms of his DNA and makeup. He's a leader. He's been known for his character. And so for a Buffalo Bills team that is a snap away from probably having to insert Saron Neal at cornerback if Levi Wallace or Trey White were to go down because Josh Norman is injured, I would advocate heavily for the Bills to go after Prince Amukamara. In fact, at the time the Bills signed Josh Norman, I was hopeful Prince Amukamara would be the veteran cornerback that they brought into the mix. So I'd love to see that come to fruition. Now, in just a moment, you're going to hear me talk with Kyle Krabs, host of the Locked On Dolphins podcast, about the Bills and Dolphins game on Sunday. There's something you need to know about me and Kyle. If you didn't know already, Kyle and I are best friends. He was the best man at my wedding. I was the best man at his wedding. And we've come up in football media together. We worked on some projects in the past that got us our chance to do this work full time. And so we've really been on a journey together. We do a daily podcast called Draft Dudes that you can listen to. If you want to hear me and Kyle talk more football, we do it every day on the Draft Dudes podcast. That's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And it's a daily football show. We talk NFL draft. We talk college football. We talk NFL. And so we've been doing that show daily for several years now, in addition to our written work and our scouting work that got us to the point where we are now. So if you notice some chemistry or us taking some jabs at each other, just understand who we are and what our relationship is. I will say that it's a little bit weird having a best friend that is a Miami Dolphins fan, and just the way it is. Maybe you guys live the same life I do, where your close friends or your best friends are fans of rival teams. So that's just some of the dynamics to make you aware of as you listen to Kyle and I discuss this football game. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Check out CBDMD. Joe Marino of Locked On Bills, joined now by Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Dolphins. And Kyle, let me just tell you, it's a pleasure to finally get a chance to do a podcast with you.
Yeah, we definitely don't do this at all. So this should be good to talk about our teams, which we definitely don't do on any of our other podcasts.
Right. So yeah, considering I don't know any of your opinions about the Miami Dolphins, I'm anxious to find out some things from you here today. The first thing I want to ask you about, Kyle, is this offense, and they switched over from Chad Oshea to Chan Gailey, obviously a coach that Bills fans are well familiar with. What did you learn about this offense in week one against the Patriots, and was it different than some of your expectations entering the year?
Yeah, we learned it stinks without Devontae Parker on the field, for starters. Listen, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's something I keep telling Dolphins fans. And the Dolphins undertook this very ambitious rebuild effort in January of 2019. And they went through the evaluation year in 2019 season. They had some momentum at the end of the year. They come into the 2020 offseason, and they invest heavily in the defense with some veteran players, the secondary, and the trenches on both sides of the football. So, like, the skill players' room aside of the running backs was largely untouched by the Dolphins throughout the course of the offseason. And you go out in week one against the Patriots, and you're trying to play this kind of quick game, space the field against the number one cornerback room and man coverage in all of football. And when Devontae Parker goes down, nobody can separate against anybody. Mike Gesicki's blanketed by safeties. Preston Williams can't get off his routes, and he, quite frankly, looked rusty coming off the knee injury. And the Dolphins didn't have Lynn Bowden and Malcolm Perry, the two new additions they actually made to the wide receiver room, active to play in this football game. So Isaiah Ford's pressed into 45-plus snaps in the game, and he can't separate against anybody. So it's really hard to get a gauge on the specifics of the offense, also in part because it's Wednesday when we're recording this, and NFL Game Pass hasn't dropped the All-22 yet. So
right.
I'm still hoping to watch and see some of these route combinations from the All-22 perspective. But from everything that I saw during the game and watching the quick condensed replay of the game, the Dolphins are going to struggle unless they find more opportunities to create explosive plays by either creating more separation, Chan getting more mesh concepts involved to kind of rub defenders off of receivers and manufacture that separation, or you start breaking more tackles after the catch?
You mentioned the Patriots played a lot of man coverage against Miami, and we know traditionally the Bills run a lot of zone defense, a lot of cover three. Is that perk you up a little bit, thinking about not having to win in man coverage and it be more about finding space and it attacking space against a zone-heavy defense?
I think so. I think that will definitely help, and Fitzpatrick's experience in this offense, you know, with him being so savvy in the pre-snap, I think it will help him kind of understand where the soft spaces are a little bit more, so he can throw to spots. Where it gets a little risky is because Fitz has plenty of experience playing in this offense. The receivers do not. They've played one game. Nobody has played in Chan Gailey's offense that is on the Dolphins roster before this year. So that lack of timing, you know, can you make sure that you're going to get your head around in time? You're working to the proper landmark based on where the zone drops are. Those are the kinds of things that Miami just needs to have a lot of due diligence with against a very zone-heavy team. Because if you tip your hand or you get sloppy or you widen too far and Fitz has to throw to a spot because of pressure, that's where Buffalo can kind of take advantage if those communications are not in sync.
Kyle, I want to talk about this offensive line here for a minute. Four new starters in the group.
Rookies,
left tackle, Austin Jackson, right guard, Solomon Kindly. I talked about this unit with the Bills Mafia yesterday on a podcast and said, look, these guys played pretty well against the Patriots. I think Fitz had 30 passing attempts. He was only sacked once. That sack was charged to Fitz for holding onto the football for too long, and then they only gave up 5 total pressures, and kind of an impressive performance. Maybe not a ton of movement in the run game, which you kind of expect for such a big offensive line, but what do you think about this unit and what you saw from them in week one?
Yeah, I was really impressed with the offensive line play. As somebody who was a little skeptical about Austin Jackson's readiness to play at the NFL early on in his career, he definitely looks the part. He's not overwhelmed by his assignments. A lot of beef. The Dolphins across their front are averaging almost 330 pounds a player. They're very big. And I think for the Dolphins, the lack of success in the ground, I don't want to read too much into it, because some of those shortcomings came where it took them 3 yards to punch in a ball on the 1 yard line in a goal line situation, or 3 tries to get across the goal line. So that really tanked the average of Jordan Howard specifically. And Matt Breida found room to run. It was 4.4 yards per carry for him. And Miles Gaskin found room to run. He also averaged 4.4 yards per carry. And for a team that collectively was so bad running the football last year, I was pretty encouraged. I thought just kind of the script of the game, Miami constantly chasing, Fitz through an interception early on, Preston Williams fell down on his route, and then in a 2-minute scenario, he throws another backbreaking pick that takes points off the board. The Patriots get the ball to start the second half, and then they go down the field and score, and then all of a sudden it's an 11-point game. It's like, okay, well, we got to get away from running the football a little bit. So I think they tried to lean on it early on. They didn't have a ton of success. But overall, I thought the offensive line was probably the most redeeming performance of any component of the offense in week one against the Patriots in both the run and pass game. And that is such a breath of fresh air for Dolphins fans versus what we experienced last year.
Now, Kyle, there were a ton of additions to this defense. By my count, 7 new starters were added to this group. And so could you maybe walk us through all 3 levels of the defense and talk about some of the new dynamics and what you learned about those players from week one? I know, like, Shaq Lawson played, if I'm not mistaken, all but 3 defensive snaps.
Yeah, it was like 90%
for this football team. They played like 3 different safeties and some dynamics at corner. Raekwon McMillan's not here. So maybe give us an overview on this Dolphins defense.
Yeah, so starting on the back end, Xavien Howard had a pitch count coming into the game. He started the training camp on PUP, and then he was on the COVID list for 2 weeks. So he really lost a lot of ground in trying to rehab from offseason knee surgery. So he played 27 snaps. Noah Igbinoghene, the first-round pick, played a bunch of snaps. He was inside and outside alike. And the Dolphins got a ton out of rookie safety Brandon Jones, who ended up in effectively a starting role. And the Patriots came out and ran a lot of six offensive linemen looks. They brought in, you know who Michael Owenu is from your draft background. Owenu played like 20-something snaps as a tight end. So it's like the Dolphins saw this heavy formation and the big nickel with Brandon Jones comes into the game, and the Dolphins tried to go a little bit beefier up front where Emmanuel Agba's playing a whole bunch of snaps. Devon Godchow, Christian Wilkins, Shaq Lawson, as a base four-man front, that's kind of what you're looking at and operating with. But the challenge for Miami is, okay, when you want that third safety on the field, who comes off? And sometimes it was Kyle Van Noy. Sometimes it was Devon Godchow. Van Noy's another guy who it felt like they had on a little bit of a pitch count. He had a hand injury in training camp, and he ended up playing like 65% of the snaps for the Dolphins. But Wilkins, Godchow, Agba, Lawson up front, those are the primary names to know. Raekwon Davis, the second-round pick, is up to 330 pounds. He'll play some A-gap stuff, but probably more of in a rotational role. Jerome Baker, Elaine Roberts, Kyle Van Noy, those are your primary linebackers. And I'll say this, you know, for 16 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble, Jerome Baker did not have a good football game, in my opinion. He got picked on in coverage. He was targeted three times. He gave up 50 yards in coverage. He got lost on an over route from Ryan Izzo, who's one of the least imposing tight ends to draw an assignment in man coverage against. So Jerome also had two penalties in this game. One of them was a big late hit out of bounds. Jerome's got to play a better football game against Buffalo in all phases, not just in pursuit, because you'll look at the tackles and you'll say, oh, he had a great game. But in reality, the complementary phases of Jerome Baker's game was a real disappointing development in week one.
So let me just ask you this. I think there's a ton of things I would love to get into, but I don't have all day to ask you these questions. What, when you just kind of tie a ribbon on this discussion from a Dolphins perspective, you're thinking about this game against the Bills, what are some of those keys for you? What are some of those X factors that need to be true for the Dolphins to have success on Sunday?
Well, reports are that DeVante Parker is on track to play in the football game. So that's a good start for Miami, because the more attention DeVante can draw, the better. It makes all the complementary players better because it allows them to not draw as much attention. So it's a double bonus for the Dolphins to get their best offensive skill player on the field, and then he makes everybody else better with the attention that he commands. So Parker playing would be a big win. I'd like to see continued efforts with Matt Breida and Jordan Howard, both of these running backs that the team brought in, to get them more touches of the football. Howard started early on and then kind of disappeared until they got on the 1 yard line. Matt Breida, it took him a while to show up at all. Miles Gaskin was the guy who got the most run in week one. I'm interested to see if that's a hot hand scenario or if that was because the Dolphins were kind of chasing from behind and needed the back that they felt gave them the most all around skill set as a pass catcher, pass blocker, and as a runner. Defensively, the Dolphins have to figure out the edge. I'm sure Buffalo's going to pay a lot of attention to the successes that the Patriots had running Cam Newton, and I know Josh Allen will run in different ways. But the Dolphins, they need better discipline on the edge from Emmanuel Agba, from Shaq Lawson, maybe get Kyle Van Noy more stood up on the outside and man on the line of scrimmage type reps. Make sure you try your best to force Josh to come up the middle if he's going to try and run on you. And task those big guys up the middle with staying sturdy and just play man coverage in the secondary. I think Buffalo will see a lot of man from this Dolphins secondary because that was the primary objective when they went out and spent all the money that they did to upgrade that group.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place where you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best coaches and players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides you with access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Kyle Krabs of Locked On Dolphins, joined by Joe Marino of Locked On Bills. And Joe, I'm glad one of us could enjoy a victory Monday this past Monday. I wish it could have been me, but it was not. And you being my best friend in the world, really happy for you. So congratulations first and foremost on Victory Monday. And anytime the Jets lose, it's also a win for everybody else.
Was that tongue in cheek, Kyle? Are you really? Is it because it's Gase and the Jets where you find some happiness?
Yes.
Or,
okay. Yeah. I mean, if you beat the Patriots, I'm going to be pissed. Like, be honest. So had a chance to take in some of this Buffalo Jets game. And obviously from a Dolphins perspective, preparing for Buffalo, the betting favorite, or I guess depending on where you look, the betting favorite to win the AFC East this year. This is a critical matchup for the Dolphins. So I want to look at some of the critical dynamics on both sides of the ball for Buffalo coming into this week two game. And I want to start with linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. I know he got banged up in the week one performance and win against the Jets. So what is the status of Tremaine Edmonds, and what would his loss due to change how the Bills play defense against Miami?
One of the challenging things about talking about injuries with this football team is that Sean McDermott doesn't give you anything. So far, it's just, well, we need to find more information. Doesn't look long-term. We'll consider him day-to-day. We've seen him say that about every injury that I've ever seen that wasn't significantly like a season-ending injury. So gaining any clues from what has been given to us from McDermott has been difficult. I think we'll get a better gauge as we see practice reports coming out and we see if he's a full participant or limited or if he's out. And so we'll know more later in the week. Obviously, he's a key piece for this Bills defense. And what I think really limits the defense if Tremaine's not available is how well they can disguise coverage. They love to put Tremaine Edmonds down on the line of scrimmage in the A-gaps and then just peel him back because he has so much range, so much fluidity in his pedal. He can get lateral very quickly, and he has such tremendous length. And so you can put him at places that he's not going to be when the snap actually happens and really confuse quarterbacks. And so I think you lose a huge element of disguise on top of, you know, the quarterback of your defense, a team captain, guy that gets everyone lined up, a guy with really special physical traits in the middle of the field that, you know, you think about this Dolphins offense and the horizontal spread and how they want to attack space. Well, Tremaine Edmonds is a bit of a neutralizer for that type of an attack, and not having him would be a major problem. You're probably looking at A.J. Klein, Tyrell Dotson stepping into the prominent role if he's not available. So I'm sure Bills fans have their fingers crossed hoping they can see Tremaine Edmonds on Sunday, and that would be a major benefit for the Dolphins if he's unable to go.
So I know you're a big special teams guy.
Really?
And the Dolphins Dolphins fans will say what they will about the defensive performance against the Patriots with 217 yards rushing allowed, a very well-crafted game plan from New England. But at the end of the day, Miami only gave up 21 points. So the hope is there that perhaps this can become a bend-don't-break style defense. And going against the Buffalo Bills, what's the situation with kicker Tyler Bass? Because if you bend, don't break, and force field goals, Buffalo left a lot of points on the field in week one against the Jets. So, Joe, I'm not very well versed in Tyler Bass other than he's a sixth round pick in this year's draft. What was the vibe on Tyler throughout the course of training camp? And was his week one performance a surprise for Bills Mafia?
Well, it was disappointing for sure. The Bills had Steven Hauschka as their kicker for the last three seasons, and he was really good in his first year, and then he made less than 80% his second two seasons, and you can see a real decline on the distance he can get on his kicks. And so they drafted Tyler Bass. They had a competition. He won the job, and it's very disappointing to see him go 2-for-4 on field goals and both of those misses coming inside of 40 yards. Now, he did come back and make his second two field goals after missing his first two, and he made all three of his extra points. But being able to finish drives with points is going to be an important factor. Now, I'll go ahead and take this opportunity as an excuse to mention this statistic, because the Bills, now they haven't been a great scoring offense over the last 3 years, but they've been able to score against the Miami Dolphins 3-0 in the last three games. And in those last three games, they've scored 37, 31, and 42 points. So I think for the Bills, it's probably important to not rely on Tyler Bass to get all the scoring done and finish drives with touchdowns. And we saw the Bills score 3 touchdowns against the New York Jets, and they probably should have scored 2 more. But Josh Allen, I'm sure everyone saw the highlight of him airmailing John Brown. He also missed Dawson Knox in the corner of the end zone, and that took a touchdown off the board. And I think that the Knox throw was just as bad as the John Brown throw, but the only one we're seeing is the John Brown throw. So the Bills got to finish drives and not rely on this rookie kicker because, look, I know he's talented and the Bills believe in him, but at the end of the day, he was 2 for 4 and missed 2 inside of 40 to start his NFL career. Now, I will say kicking in the NFL was down in week one. In week one, the kicking percentage was 71.6%. It was the most combined missed field goals in any week since week 10 of 2011. So, I mean, it was an unprecedented week for field goal kickers in week one of the season. And I don't know, maybe kickers need preseason, maybe kickers need crowds. I don't know what goes into that, but the Bills got to score touchdowns and not field goals.
I'm going to pretend you didn't come on here and cite points scored against a team that quit on Adam Gase in week 17 and the 2 games against the Island of Misfit Toys that the Dolphins fielded last year. But that's okay. Let's talk about the offense for the Buffalo Bills. You mentioned Josh Allen. Josh Allen continues to exceed all of my expectations of him as a draft an analyst in the pre-draft process. And it's been impressive to see what the Bills have done from both a personnel and schematic perspective to try to wean and develop him whilst playing. And I think there's some good lessons there for perhaps the Miami Dolphins to learn as they look to engage upon that own path with Tua Tagovailoa. I want to ask you about the offensive line because we know the Bills, they went out, they got Stephon Diggs, and they had John Brown and Cole Beasley. So should be this really heavyweight matchup between the Dolphins secondary and the Bills receivers, and should be a lot of fun. Hopefully NFL Game Pass gets us that that tape sooner rather than later. But the offensive line, Deion Dawkins, Quentin Spain, Mitch Morris, I know there was this big to-do about who was going to play right tackle, and it ends up being Darrell Williams with Cody Ford at right guard. The Dolphins went out and made efforts to attract heavy-handed defensive linemen to kind of better dictate the line of scrimmage. How do you think this matchup between these two sides has the opportunity to play out on Sunday?
Well, I think when you go left to right with the Bills' offensive line, excuse me, the left guard, left tackle, center, that's going to be the part of it that's the most sound. And I think Cody Ford at right guard and Darrell Williams at right tackle, they played okay against the Jets. But if the offensive line can be had, it's going to be right there. And obviously Cody Ford, a big adjustment for him, kicking inside to guard as opposed to playing tackle. You saw that he's got the functional strength to do it, but you saw there were times against the Jets where that action unfolding quicker and the power getting on top of him quicker was something that challenged him. And so he'll have his hands full against Christian Wilkins, who was really good against the Patriots last week. And that was a really good interior offensive line. I mean, you talk about Joe Tooney and David Andrews and Shaq Mason. I mean, that's probably the best interior trio in the NFL. And so if he was able to produce against that, I'm sure that he'll be licking his chops to get his chances against Cody Ford at right guard and his second ever start at that spot. Darrell Williams, I thought he played okay, but you know, he's a guy that's still kind of refining himself. He was really good in 2017. He's been injured a bunch since. The Panthers played him at left tackle, some at left guard, and so he's refining himself at right tackle. And I think he's serviceable, but I don't think he's a plus player. And so if you're gonna find success against this Bills offensive line, you're gonna have to attack that right side. And I'm sure that Brian Flores and Josh Boyer will find opportunities to get their best players coming against the right guard and right tackle for the Bills. So that's kind of the concern right now. I don't know that it's a glaring concern where it's something that is a major deficiency where you feel like it's going to hold you back considerably. But if you're going to beat the Bills' offensive line, it's probably going to be on the right side.
My last question for you, Joe, is more about how the Dolphins have chose to approach their rebuild in general. You and I have had some personal conversations about the dynamics of beating teams within your division and designing your teams with your division in mind. And I know you have some thoughts about how Miami's roster construction and approach plays to that mentality. So I was curious if you could just lay it out as somebody who's not a Dolphins analyst or writer or covers the Dolphins, but you know football and you know this division and you know the players that the Dolphins have brought into play. Can you, as a not Dolphins resource, provide your perspective on that specific approach for Miami?
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot about how NFL teams are built in our, you know, we've been working together for a long time. And we've talked to a lot of people in the league about team building. And it always kind of comes back to building a team that is designed to beat the teams in your division. And the more I've watched this unfold in Miami, the more I think, wow, that feels like they had the Bills in mind a little bit with that move. And I'll be honest with you, offensively, the Dolphins are a couple of dynamic skill players away from really making me nervous, to be honest with you, because if the Bills struggle a bit on defense, it's been with tackling and the fact that they are more of a zone defense. And so whenever you can really go after them with receivers that are able to take advantage of that weakness at CB2, where it's been Levi Wallace, they're trying Josh Norman, but he's hurt. It's kind of been a revolving door opposite of Tre'Davious White that you can kind of go after that player. And the Bills on defense, I don't know that they're not a team that's going to give up a ton of points vertically. They're not going to get big explosive plays down the field. But if you can challenge some soft spots in zone coverage, if you can get dynamic athletes to football in space that know how to create, you can probably cause some problems for this Bills defense that has historically been very sound under Sean McDermott. Now, you look at the defensive side of the football, and you see the investments that they've made at cornerback, having Byron Jones, having Xavier Howard, having Noah Igbinoghene. All of those guys are really good, outstanding man coverage corners. And while the Bills have this really dynamic trio of route runners that know how to get open, and Diggs, Brown, and Beasley, guys that are separation specialists, if you will, you know, if you're going to counter that, you need guys that can go toe-to-toe and play man coverage. And that's going to be a fun matchup to watch on Sunday, but it is the right makeup of a room to kind of neutralize where the Bills have invested most heavily on their offense. And so you really like what they're doing with safeties. They'll play three of them, doing a lot of matchup-specific things. So while you try to get Dawson Knox kind of flexed out, get the running backs involved in the passing game a little bit more, they've kind of got some neutralizers. And then I really like what they did in terms of moving away from a player like Raekwon McMillan, who is kind of a limited downhill guy, and going more with Kruger Hill and obviously Jerome Baker, guys that have more range and can get sideline to sideline. And so I think that's a really nice wrinkle and evolution to their unit. And so in a lot of ways, I look at what the Miami Dolphins have done from a personnel perspective, and I can see some of the chess moves there to kind of combat how the Bills have built their roster, but then also the head coaching decision to bring in Brian Flores. While the rest of the NFL is out there looking for hotshot offensive guys, the Zach Taylors, the Sean McVays, the Matt LaFleurs, the Cliff Kingsburys, right? The list goes on and on and on. The Bills and Dolphins are rolling with defensive-minded coaches and Brian Flores and Sean McDermott, guys that want to be CEOs, right? Trust assistants to do their job, trust coordinators to do their job, but really focus in on holding guys accountable, changing culture, and still being aggressive-minded defensive coaches. I mean, you can see a lot of similarities in their philosophies about team building and how they attack game days because of their aggressiveness, being defensive-minded, and what's important to them in players. And so I think there's a lot of parallels here. It happened a little bit differently in terms of exactly how things went in terms of building up the talent, kind of coming out of a dark time in the history of the franchises. But I can really appreciate, from the coaching decision to how the roster is being built and the philosophies behind it, in terms of what's doing here, what's going on here, and how it's being designed to make the AFC East competitive post Tom Brady.
There you have it. This is going to be a fascinating matchup. I had mentioned to Dolphins fans after week one, week two against the Bills will be a much better barometer of just how improved this team is versus flying blind going into a game against Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. So Buffalo took the season series. Joe was gracious enough to remind us that the Bills have taken the last three matchups in this head-to-head contest between AFC East rivals. We will see what happens on Sunday, but thank you for tuning into the special crossover between Locked On Bills and Locked On Dolphins, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino. Thanks as always for listening.